It is the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Along with Jordan Sherwood, I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Follow Jordan at Wood1063. You can get all of his picks at FatJackSports.com. An okay weekend last weekend for UFC Fight Night. We've got another UFC Fight Night to preview this week. Makhachev versus Green, a huge fight for Islam Makhachev. Probably a bigger fight for Bobby Green if he can pull off the upset, but not likely. We'll get more into that in a minute. But anything from last week's UFC Fight Night that we can, you know, take into future fights coming up here?
I think I'm amped to see when Jamahal Hill is going to fight next because, you know, he went out there and just completely slept Johnny Walker. And we talked about just his ability to counter, and he landed a severe right hand to the temple of Johnny Walker and absolutely put him to sleep. We told you he would do it. We told you he'd do it early. And now it's great too because, well, first off, it's great because he's become a nice story about a guy that really didn't come from a background in mixed martial arts and just using his athleticism. Now he's on the cusp of the top five of the light heavyweight division. But then after the fight, he's coming out in defense of Johnny Walker for all those trolls out there in social media that are condemning him and calling him a fraud and saying that he's washed up and shouldn't be there. I love it when, you know, these athletes come to the defense of each other, but I'm a little bit disappointed because I reached out to Jamahal Hill to join the podcast this week to talk about, you know, his big win and what's next, and I didn't hear back from him.
That's so okay. I mean, listen.
It's fine.
He's fighting off haters left and right. I mean, come on.
I hear you. I just wish, you know, we would have shown the guy a little bit of Chicago love, you know, born and raised here in the Windy City, and would have loved to have him on and talk about what's next. But, yeah, we'll get him. We'll get him for his next fight.
We'll get him for his next fight for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll have a few guests jump on every once in a while. So let's jump into UFC Fight Night. Makhachev versus Green. Islam Makhachev against Bobby Green. Makhachev, a huge favorite at minus 900. Bobby Green coming in as a catchweight fight. It's supposed to be 155. He's at 160. And before this, we were talking that he lost 30 pounds in 5 days to make this fight. So he's had 3 weeks to prepare for this fight, right?
Less than three weeks to prepare for this fight,
and he was at 190, you said? And so coming in at 190, and then he's got to make 155 with the five-pound allowance. For those who used to wrestle in high school or college, you get that five-pound allowance. So he's
This is a catchweight. So they made it at a 160 fight.
Yeah.
So actually, it's actually only a pound allowance if they fought at 155. So thankfully, Bobby Green didn't have to lose that extra 5 pounds.
Still.
Islam Makhachev also doesn't have to make the 155-pound limit. Not that he's ever struggled with that before. But the bottom line is, you're right. It was 2.5 weeks. Bobby Green was sitting on his couch. He weighed at 195 pounds. He got the call, and he makes weight at 160 for this catchweight main event. And, you know, kudos to him because this is his first main event since the regional promotions way back when, early on in his career. So credit where credit's due for Bobby. You know, Bobby Green going through the grind, and he's getting his opportunity on short notice here to headline a fight card.
Now, before we break down what is probably going to be a Makhachev win, I mean, he's great in every category. Bobby Green, a huge underdog here at plus 610 right now. You get those odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Losing 35 pounds in that amount of time. Now, I wrestled in high school for a little bit. I remember the kids that would, you know, have the trash bag on underneath the heavy coat, and they're asking for your heavy coat. They're doing laps in the hallways trying to make weight. It always ended the same way. Those guys, when they got to the fight, were exhausted because they tried so hard to make weight all day. They've got the water bottle that they're spitting in class. It's gross. Our high school actually outlawed it. They're like, you can't do that anymore because it was so gross. They're trying to make weight. I get it if you're trying to cut, you know, 4 or 5 pounds or whatever in a week. Like, that's doable because weight fluctuates like that. But to lose 35 pounds, like, how do you do that? It's crazy.
It's why these mixed martial arts fighters are a different breed and a different character.
That's like an arm, Jordan. That's like cutting off an arm and saying, hey, like, I'm struggling to lose the pandemic weight here, and I'm trying to drop, like, 15 pounds, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it. I guess it's not my job to work out. Like, these guys, it's their job to work out and to train and get ready for these fights.
He lost my daughter. Like, my daughter, Zoe, is 6.
Yeah.
She's like 40. She's 40 pounds.
And yeah. My dog's 40 pounds. Like, imagine just like, and I have to, like, my dog, I have to carry her down the stairs because she's old now and everything like that. Like, I can't imagine losing that much weight in that short of time.
It's crazy. And the thing is, it's such an integral part of the success or failure for a lot of these athletes and a lot of the, you know, a lot of these fights. Because you have to dedicate X amount of time to concentrating just doing that, not worrying about sparring, training in the gym, studying film, you know, working on your jiu-jitsu. You have to worry about cutting weight. So, like, Bobby Green probably spent little to no time actually really preparing for Islam Makhachev. He spent most of this time cutting the weight. So that's cardio, that's going on the bike, that's wearing those suits to make sure that he's able to fight and legally fight. And luckily he did. But again, you know, he didn't have a lot of time to game plan for Makhachev.
You've got a story about when you were calling fights in Cleveland.
I used to work for a promotion. It's no longer in existence. It was called UMAX. It was a regional promotion in Cleveland. I was the color commentator, the Joe Rogan, if you will, of this regional mixed martial arts promotion. And we had this one main event fighter who drove to the weigh-ins in one of those suits with the heat turned up in his car for about a 40-minute drive from his house to the site of the weigh-ins. And luckily, he did make weight. He made weight at the 200. It was a light heavyweight fight. He came in at 206. But just like him, I saw him getting out of his car, and he's just like dripping sweat
everywhere.
He
basically turned his car into a sauna for 40 minutes.
For 40 minutes while driving. I mean, that's definitely not the safest thing to do. But that's the type of stories that you hear. That's the type of things that these guys do. And then, you know, in the case of, you know, one of these fights that I'm really actually looking forward to, Jonathan Martinez coming up against Alejandro Perez, he actually called and said, look, I'm not going to make the bantamweight limit. This fight needs to be at featherweight. And Perez agreed. So now they're fighting at 145 as opposed to what was contracted originally at 135. So something happened with Jonathan Martinez where he wasn't going to be able to make the weight, but you know, look, there's something agreement that wasn't disclosed, and now they're fighting at 145.
So historically, how do the guys that try to cut this much weight, how do they do in these fights? Like, is there any historical, you know, not stats or really, but just like records you can look at to be like, look, this guy, one, he's a huge underdog to begin with. So I imagine cutting all that weight in that short of time, not watching film because you're concentrating on cardio and you're concentrating on cutting all that weight and you're spending, like you said, most of that time cutting that weight. Like, it makes him even more of an underdog in this situation. One, Makhachev is just one of the best young fighters, or not young fighters, he's 30, but one of the best up-and-coming fighters in the game right now. And Bobby Green, just a huge underdog. One, because of the short time, he had to cut all this weight, and also just because he's not that good of a fighter compared to Makhachev.
Yeah, the track record typically shows, you know, a guy that, like, knows that he's going to miss the weight or misses it really badly. It doesn't bode well for them. Case in point, we talked about it 2 weeks ago on the here on the podcast, William Knight and Maxim Grishin. It was supposed to be a light heavyweight fight. William Knight comes in like 12 pounds over the light heavyweight limit. Something went wrong. We don't know what it was, but I said it was likely an injury that did not allow him to work on his cardio to cut the weight, and Maxim Grishin was an easy cash winner for us at fatjacksports.com. So a lot of it depends. But then there's other guys, too, that are downright cheaters that just, like, show up to the weigh-ins early. They know they're going to miss weight. They don't try and make the contracted weight. They know they're going to have to forfeit 20% of the purse, but it's worth it to them because they're likely going to get a win. And a case in point is a guy like Joe Alvarez, who's fighting in a very critical lightweight fight. I was very interested to see how he came out. He actually did look good on the scale. He had to go naked. He had to put the towel up, but he came in at 156. Prior to that, he had missed weight in like three of his last four fights, but they were all wins.
Okay,
they were
hold
all wins where he's
hold
he's
on a second.
He's a monster.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Yeah. How much can that little thing weigh that they're wearing at the weigh-ins?
You'd be
anyway,
surprised.
How much can those little
surprised.
Shorts weigh? What? That's not even half a pound.
Well, that half a pound was the
no,
difference between making the weight because he weighed
true.
156.
I'll just tell you this: that before weigh-ins, when I was in high school, the bathrooms were full. That's all. The bathrooms were full before weigh-in, and everybody was chugging Gatorade afterwards to try to make weight for some dumb high school wrestling meet. So when we break this down, Bobby Green, big trash talker, but hasn't been able to come away with wins. Makhachev is great in whether it's defending takedowns, whether it's completing takedowns. He averages 3.5 takedowns every 15 minutes. He can defend 90% of the takedowns. Like, he's also good at shielding away hits too. Like he's defending hits at 70%. Like this guy is the complete package, is one of the up and coming fighters here in UFC.
There's a reason why he's called Khabib Nurmagomedov 2.0. Mm-hmm. This is the protege of Khabib Nurmagomedov, a guy that never lost in mixed martial arts, might be the greatest lightweight fighter that we've ever seen, and now is in the corner for every single one of Islam Makhachev's fights. And Islam Makhachev is on quite a run. You know, his last victory over Dan Hooker was extremely impressive, but he also, you know, Thiago Moises, Drew Dober, Davi Ramos, all these guys that are, you know, highly reputable guys. This was going to be a major fight, though, and it really sucks that Beneil Dariush had to pull out of the fight with a pretty bad ankle injury that he suffered in camp, because, you know, you've got people saying that Islam Makhachev, if he wins this fight, he should be fighting for the title. That's what he is saying, you know, because he's on an unbelievable win streak. But I don't think so. Bobby Green's not in the top 10 of the lightweight division. Like, no. He's not a title contender. Had Makhachev beaten Beneil Dariush, then maybe I'd consider it. But, look, it's going to be a fun fight because that's the type of fighter Bobby Green is. He's an entertaining fighter, and he's a pretty good one. Very good boxer. Very good takedown defense, tremendous athlete, can push strong cardio, a guy that rarely gets finished as well. But again, Makhachev's a 900 favorite. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the expectations are extremely high. I would not recommend a play on Bobby Green. I just don't see that scenario coming to fruition, even though I love Bobby Green and love to see it. But I do believe that Islam Makhachev is in for a tough fight. Like, this is not going to be a cookie-cutter squash mash, if you will. Bobby Green is legit. Bobby Green's a guy that doesn't get finished. You know, he's gone, looking at the stats, he's gone 11 of his 12 last fights have gone the full 15 minutes. So he hasn't gone 25 because he hasn't fought in a 25-minute fight. But 11 of his last 12 gone all 15. So he's a tough out, whether he's winning or losing fights.
So when we look at the odds here, like you mentioned, Bobby Green is plus 610 right now, Makhachev minus 900 on FanDuel. If we look at method of victory, Makhachev by submission minus 115, Makhachev by points plus 340. How do you think this fight ends, and when does it end?
Yeah, I think I think it's going to go to the judges' scorecards. Even though now Makhachev is coming off three submission victories in a row against three tough customers, guys that, you know, I probably would handicap as favorites over Bobby Green, but I just don't see Bobby Green a guy that's going to succumb to a submission. So then you got to take into account, all right, well, is he going to get worn down and get finished via TKO? Maybe, but I actually think, because I love the over in this, and I can't believe that the over at 1.5 is $2. Like, that's an easy, that's probably, if we talk about, like, my big pick of the week, it'll be that. I think, as you just said, Makhachev via decision is likely the scenario. I see him controlling the fight where he wants, takedowns, keeping Bobby Green on his back. But I don't think Bobby Green gets finished, despite the fact he's taking this fight on severely short notice.
So two props to look at then for this fight. Makhachev by points at plus 340. And then on the time props, does the fight go the distance? Yes, is plus 260. So just over doubling your money there, 2.5 to 1 right there. Will the fight go the distance? So you think that's a good play as well?
I do. And Bobby Green is not, I just had to look it up. Bobby Green has not been submitted in a fight since 2009. Okay. So, and he's only been finished once in his UFC career. That was against Dustin Poirier, and we know how good Dustin Poirier is, you know, former interim lightweight champion of the world. So, mm-hmm. yeah, my suggestion certainly would be Makhachev to win the fight, but Makhachev on points and the over. Likely two plays that I'll have tomorrow night for UFC Fight Night.
And make sure you check out those picks at FatJackSports.com. Moving on to another fight, Serkinov versus Turman. That's Misha Serkinov versus Wellington Turman. A little bit of a shorter odds here. Serkinov around minus 120, Turman at plus 102 right now. If you're looking at method of victory, if you get Serkinov by submission is plus 250, Wellington by points is plus 300. Those are the two shortest odds for those. How do you handicap this one?
Yeah, it's interesting because this will be the second fight for Misha Serkinov at middleweight. He's dropping down in weight after a pretty lengthy career at light heavyweight. He did not look good in his middleweight debut because he couldn't get a takedown. And that was against a pretty good, you know, grappling specialist in Krzysztof Jatko. He's got another one in Wellington Turman, and albeit it's very tough to back a guy that was a split decision winner over Sam Alvey, because Sam Alvey's terrible. We talked about him. We love him, but he's terrible at fighting right now. Small back for me on Wellington Turman, because I think, you know, at the end of the day, what Misha Serkinov is going to try and do with those takedowns is in Wellington Turman's wheelhouse as a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. The issue for Wellington Turman is that he fell in love with standing because he knocked some guy out a couple of fights ago and now thinks that he's a specialist in that area, and he's not. And he's been knocked out for his efforts because of that. So I think Serkinov, what he's going to want to do is probably just use his athleticism. He's got more power, and Wellington Turman's defense has been in question. It won't be one of my plays that I release via the Fat Jack, but I'd say small play if you need to play this fight on Wellington Turman. And then I do think the over in this fight happens at 1.5. And the reason I like that is because guys, again, are both grappling specialists. But I don't think you're going to see Serkinov be able to put on a Peruvian necktie like he did against Jimmy Crute against a Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist. Say that three times fast. Peruvian necktie. It's pretty sick
Peruvian
submission.
Necktie, Peruvian,
yeah, you
necktie,
like that.
Peruvian necktie.
Okay, it's not that hard to say, but it's pretty cool to see
it
if it happens.
Sounds like something like a cartel would do in some, like a movie that I want to see. It doesn't sound like a finishing move.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah.
But the guys are known for the Peruvian neckties.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but I think, again, it's going to be a grappling specialist. So over in this fight, because I don't see really a quick finish happening in this.
Does it go the distance, you think?
Yeah, I think it will. I think it'll be a 3-round probably decision. Judge of scorecards for Wellington Turman. Slight underdog. I like the value there, so I'm going to go with it. Because I just don't believe Misha Serkinov cutting the 185 is healthy for him. Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy. He looked pretty solid at 205. And 185, when he can't get the takedown, it becomes a frustrating night for him.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite bets here, this will the fight go the distance, because if you think it will, like you can, I know the over, 1.5 for the last fight we talked about, it's pretty pricey at minus 200, but if you look at the fight to go the distance, you can get plus money on those at plus 150 for Serkinov and Turman. So if you think the fight is going to go the distance, you think this ends at the judge's scorecard, then that's a good play right there. You can get that on FanDuel Sports as well. We go to the next fight, Armand Tsarukyan versus Joel Alvarez. We talked about Alvarez a little bit early on in the podcast. What do we need to know about this
fight's going to be awesome.
Yeah?
This fight's going to be awesome. These are two guys that are on the cusp of really being notable names in the lightweight division. Armin's ranked. He's number 13. Joel Alvarez not ranked. 4-fight win streaks for both guys. Alvarez has 4 stoppage wins. This is the guy that I mentioned had to get naked to make weight. But look, he's looked impressive his last 4 outs. Again, a couple of those times he missed weight, but he is a monster at 155 pounds. Absolutely enormous for the division. A very sharp striker, technical, he's got good submissions off of his back. The worrisome that I have if you're backing Alvarez is that he's going to allow Armin to do what he wants to do, and that's get the fight to the ground and control with some top position, because Joel Alvarez likes to throw out those submissions, off of his back. And if he's doing that, I think in my mind the judges are going to see that and think, all right, well, then Armin's just controlling the right fight for 3 rounds and he's going to get his hand raised. But look, 16 of the 17 wins are via submission for Alvarez. He's a sharp striker, as I mentioned. It showcased that in his last fight. Probably the play is Armin via decision if you need to back it. But I think I'm going to go with the dog here. I think the Joel Alvarez, again, the combination striking and submission, just how big of a monster that he is. He's on a 4-fight win streak within the UFC, all 4 of those stoppages. Armin's on a 4-fight win streak, but hasn't done them all in the UFC. So small play for me, likely on Joel Alvarez, but I think the majority of people will see Armin get his hand raised with decision victory.
So you're looking at it, Alvarez is plus 180. If you say Alvarez by submission, like you mentioned, if this fight does go to the ground, that's plus 460. In doing some prep for this fight, this one line stood out to me in one of the articles I was reading from The Athletic, that Alvarez wins 90% of his fights by submission, but he has no interest in wrestling. So as you mentioned, he'll let Tsarukyan do whatever he wants to do, and he'll try to counter that on the ground. That seems like a risky play, assuming you're going to be able to get a counter submission on the ground, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's, again, he's going to allow the fight to go where he's going to be fighting off of his back. And again, a guy that's like, fighting like that is going to be looked at as being dominated in the judges' minds. Like, again, there's not a lot of love that's thrown out for guys that are active off of their back.
I mean,
unless you really know what you're doing and you're threatening for submissions every single time, but I just don't think Armin's the type of guy is going to allow that to occur. So very interesting, but again, Joel Alvarez has got a lot of finishes. He's 19 wins, 19 finishes. So this is a guy that does not go to the judges' scorecards.
Okay.
So that's why I think potentially a small play on him, would be worth a look.
All right, so plus 180 for Alvarez, and then a little sprinkle on plus 460 Alvarez by submission. I like that. Let's go to some of the prelims here. Terrence McKinney versus Fares Ziem. How do you see this one?
I cannot believe that Terrence McKinney is still an underdog in this fight. It just boggles my mind, this guy. Play him as much as you can. I think he should be a $1.50, $1.75 favorite. I grabbed him early in the week at plus 130. I think he's now at plus 110. This is a guy that has now a combined 3 KOs in his last three fights that are a minute 45. So his last three fights combined have lasted a minute 45, including a 7-second KO in his last fight. This guy is a powerful wrestler who's got obviously some dynamite in his hands, 11 stoppages in the first round. He's now training with the current light heavyweight champion of the world in Glover Teixeira. And Fares Ziem is a good fighter. He's a talented fighter. There's a reason why he's 12-3, but he just lets things happen. He lets things happen. He's a little bit slower of a worker, and he's probably going to enjoy a stand-up fight against Terrence McKinney, which I think is a recipe for his disaster. And then if Ziem doesn't want to go there, well, then McKinney's going to go back to what he knows, and that's wrestling. And he could bully him against the cage, look for the takedowns. So one of my strongest plays and recommendations of the night, tomorrow night, is Terrence McKinney, especially at dog money. I still can't believe that he's there at that value. So I love him, particularly as the underdog.
So McKinney plus 108 right there. And also, if you want McKinney by knockout, that's plus 270. You think if this finishes early, it finishes by knockout or by submission for McKinney?
Probably by knockout. Okay. I mean, again, those last three fights, combined 145, all three of them KOs early in the first round. The interesting thing is, potentially looking at live betting. I know you love doing that. Is if this fight gets out of the first round, McKinney, I'm not questioning his cardio, but you can't say with 100% conviction that he does have strong cardio. We don't know. So if Fares Ziem can survive that first round, maybe he's down on the judges' scorecards. You might look to play him live. And I don't want to fiddle back and forth between, take this guy, I'm 50%. No, I'm playing Terrence McKinney, but I'm advising people that are listening to us here, it might be worth a look at Fares Ziem midway through that after that first round. If he's still in the fight, playing a small play on him.
I love live betting during fights because, you can judge how the fight is going and take advantage of some of those odds. Also hedge your bet, too. Like, if you think a guy that you bet on is getting worked, try to get some of your money back that way. Let's move on to one of the other prelims. Jonathan Martinez against Alejandro Perez. Perez plus 200 right now. Martinez minus 245 for this fight in the prelims.
Yeah, I mean, this is the fight that I alluded to earlier. It was supposed to be at bantamweight. Now it's at featherweight. Something happened with Jonathan Martinez where he just didn't want to cut the weight. He has had issues before with making the 135-pound limit, so this fight doesn't have to worry about the weigh-in issues. They fight at 145. Seven-fight win streak, and then it was snapped for Perez with two losses. Then he bounced back with a nice submission victory his last time out against Jenny Eduardo. So this is a guy that wants to get the fight to the ground. But Martinez, powerful strikes, really strong leg kicks. He was cruising to a victory against Davey Grant before he got knocked out. But despite that, I still like his chin. I like his striking. I think he's got good durability and good takedown defense. So I'm going to play Jonathan Martinez to outright win this fight. I'm not sure if there's a method of victory that I love. So I'll just take him to win because I could see him finishing Perez, but I could also see him go to the judges' scorecards.
Yeah, some of those method of victory props you were talking about. Martinez by points is plus 135. Martinez by knockout plus 270. And Martinez by submission, 11-1. Martinez by submission. But
likely not the scenario. Yeah, Perez exactly. Not going to likely get caught in a submission by Jonathan Martinez, particularly because of his background. And also Jonathan Martinez is more of a striker. So that's why. But I do believe that Jonathan Martinez is just better everywhere. He's got more upside, the younger fighter as well. And, a little bit of, again, he got knocked out by Davey Grant, but he's bounced back. He's won three of his last four and likely four of his last five. It was a kind of a BS decision against Andre Ewell back at UFC 247.
And the final fight we're going to talk about on the podcast here, Ramiz Brahimaj versus Michael Gilmore. If you look at it right now, the odds, Brahimaj around minus 360. So a long favorite there, Michael Gilmore at plus 290 with this fight. If you're looking for method of victory, how this fight is going to play out, Brahimaj by submission at minus 105, Brahimaj by points at 3-1.
Yeah, this is a fight that I talked about earlier in the week. If you follow me on Twitter, that we were going in on the under, going in on a prop bet via submission, this is the one. Brahimaj over Gilmore via submission. Gilmore's a guy that's been finished. He's 0-2 in the UFC, got subbed quickly, also got finished in the third round. He's got issues on the ground, and it's a huge advantage where Brahimaj certainly likes to take the fight. So first round submission is certainly a prop that I'm looking at. Brahimaj via submission is a play, and then the under at 1.5.
All right, so that's UFC fight night. If you're looking, the dogs are barking. The dogs are barking this week for you as Terrence McKinney at plus 108. Joel Alvarez at plus 180. Wellington Turman at plus 102. I love it. If you have, as we talked about last week, your knockout pick of the week, doesn't mean it has to be a knockout. It just means it's the one that you're the most sure of for UFC fight night. Makhachev versus Green, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that I got it at Bet Rivers at 1.5. The over at 1.5 for Makhachev versus Green. I just think, again, Bobby Green, even though it's short notice fight and Makhachev has been finishing guys the last two times out, he's not a finisher. He's a grinder, he's a grappler, and Bobby Green doesn't get finished. So even though it's a $2, it's a bigger price to pay, and you're like, oh yeah, big pick of the week is $2. It's worth the play. Mm-hmm. And again, I just don't see Bobby Green getting finished that quickly. Look, I'll say this though, if Islam, the way that Islam Makhachev stamps his, you know, his place as the next in line, like, he goes out and he finishes Bobby Green, like, quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, because Bobby Green doesn't get finished. He's only been finished once in his UFC career. So you go and do that, yeah, you're cementing yourself as a top-tier contender and possibly next in line for a title shot. But I don't see that happening. So Makhachev Green over 1.5.
That's this week. Next week, we got a big one. No more fight nights. It is UFC 272, Covington versus Masvidal. Just a real quick, we'll have a full podcast on this next week, previewing UFC 272, but just something on the surface for people to look forward to, maybe getting odds now, early, before this fight, before people's attention turn to this fight. What's your surface, 10,000 feet view of Covington versus Masvidal?
Yeah, as much as people are going to like love the fight, Covington versus Masvidal, and the animosity it's built up between the two, and the story. Storyline. I mean, it's a movie storyline between these two guys. Covington via decisions to play. Covington's okay. Just going to like out grapple him. He's going to wrestle Masvidal, not really threaten this fight on the feet, because that's where he would probably be losing the fight. And it's like $1.10, $1.20, I think, in some places. Covington's like a $3 favorite overall, but you got to go to the judges' scorecards, go five rounds. So certainly look into that. And I'll tell you this, I'm not buying the hype on Rafael Fiziev quite yet. He's got RDA. He's got Rafael Dos Anjos, former champion in the co-main event. That's also a five-round fight. It actually was moved because Fiziev had issues with visa issues getting over 2 weeks ago. So it was moved to the co-main event slot at this UFC pay-per-view. I'm still not buying Fiziev as a big-time contender, and he'll prove it because RDA is no slouch, but I think small play in RDA early on, a week away from that fight.
All right, that is Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter, at Woodon1063. Great picks, as always, at FatJackSports.com. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam A. Abdallah. If someone goes to FatJackSports.com to get your picks, what else can they get there?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're also going to get Jack's picks, and Jack's got basketball going on right now. He's got March Madness and the NBA,
up. Exactly.
And look, we offer, just nightly, if you want to just bet on the one night of fights, you get 3 months of fights, you get a whole year of fights that are available for you. And I mentioned this, Woodon1063. If you've got a question about a fight that you're watching, even during the fights, shoot me a DM, shoot me a tweet.
The
DMs are open. Happy to answer them as best as I can.
That's Jordan Sherwood. I'm Adam Abdallah. We'll talk to you next week as we preview UFC 272. We'll be here on the Unnamed MMA Podcast.